Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real. This week's podcast is titled The Bond Bubble Conundrum. Wall Street shills are in near perfect agreement that the bond market is not in a bubble. And even if there are a few on the fringes who will admit that one does exist, they claim it will burst harmlessly because the Fed is merely gradually letting the air out from inside. However, the fact that we are in a bond bubble is beyond a doubt. And given the magnitude of the yield distortions that exist today, the effects of its unwinding will be epic. Due to the risks associated with inflation and solvency concerns, it should be a prima facie case that sovereign bond yields should never venture anywhere near 0%. And in some cases, shockingly, below 0%. Even a nation that has no national debt and no inflation should still provide investors with a real after-tax return on their investments. But in the context of today's inflation-seeking and debt-disabled governments, negative nominal interest rates are equivalent to investment heresy. At its peak in 2016, there was a total of over $14 trillion worth of global sovereign bonds with a negative yield, mostly in Europe and Japanese debt. And even though that total has decreased recently, it is still above $8 trillion. And although the U.S. 10-year Treasury note has never been negative, it is still, at least in nominal terms, it's been negative in real terms, of course, it is still clearly in the sub-basement of history. Given these facts, any free-thinking individual must assent that the global bond market is in a bubble. This situation may be definitely worse overseas, but the U.S. bond market still suffers from the same contagion. Given our trillion-dollar annual deficits, a national debt that is $21.5 trillion, 106% of GDP now, and consumer price inflation that is above the Fed's 2% target, the abnormality in U.S. rates is completely absurd. The key to this whole discussion about bonds being extraordinarily overvalued is the arrival of inflation onto the scene, which had been absent for a decade in the eyes of the consumer because it was mostly sequestered within stock, bond, and real estate prices. But because of central banks' inflation successes, quote-unquote successes, along with the additional $70 trillion worth of debt levels worldwide since the Great Recession, interest rates have recently started to rise. This has compelled many central banks to shift strategies from the pursuit of inflation to one of inflation containment. Importantly, this is one of the most important parts of this podcast. Importantly, this change from central banks, from dovish to hawkish, is not a voluntary decision, unlike what the Wall Street carnival barkers would have you believe. In other words, rates are not rising for all the right reasons, as they're so prone to say. Rates are rising for the right reasons. But instead, they are rising due to runaway asset prices, surging debt levels, and the resurgence of rising consumer prices. Therefore, these money printers have no choice but to retreat from their inflation quest, or they now risk a rapid and destructive rise in long-term bond yields. Hence, global central banks are trying to stick the inflation landing by hoping CPI stays near the 2% level and praying interest rates nestle into a tight trading range that remains completely harmless to this over-leveraged economy. What a fantasy. However, this is diametrically opposed to the very nature and construction of asset bubbles. Think about the last two examples of the NASDAQ crash in 2000 and the real estate debacle in 2008. These asset bubbles, just like all others in history, needed a constant supply of new money fuel, monetary fuel, to stay inflated. The Fed inverted the yield curve shortly before each crash and cut off banks' profit motive to lend. Not only this, but these assets became so inflated relative to incomes and the underlying economy that investors were no longer capable of throwing new money at them. Once stock and home prices began to roll over, there was a panicked rush for the exits. This is primarily due to the massive leverage involved with these bubbles. Owning assets on margin with excessive debt is very expensive and only makes sense in a raging bull market. As soon as the tide turns, the offers begin to pile up quickly and exacerbate the move lower in prices. The bigger the distortion of asset prices, the greater the reset will be. And the warping of interest rates courtesy of global central banks has never been anywhere near this extraordinary. What Mr. Powell and the rest of the central bank leaders fail to grasp is that asset bubbles contain tremendous potential energy and are virtually impossible to unwind innocuously. The Fed is trying to engineer a soft landing for the bond bubble it created, but no such condition is at all probable. If the Fed funds rate, FFR, was already close to its mean of around 6.5%, then perhaps this would be a possibility. However, at the current Fed funds rate, FFR, of just 2.25%, it is far below the average and nowhere near the so-called equilibrium rate, where it is neither a stimulant or a depressant for the economy, especially in light of the fact that no such interest rate nirvana can ever be supplied by a central bank. I mean, if let's put it this way. If such an equilibrium rate exists, it certainly can never be known by a bunch of academics with PhDs up there behind who have no idea that the level of interest rates should be a function of the supply of savings supply of savings versus the demand for money. No idea. In other words, interest rates should fluctuate. If there's an overabundance of savings, then and there's a low demand for that borrowing, interest rates should fall. If there's a dearth of savings and a high demand for loans, interest rates should rise. They have no clue. There is no equilibrium rate. It doesn't exist. It's a part of their Keynesian liberal fantasy. Therefore, herein lies the rub. If the Fed were to stop raising the Fed funds rate at the current level, there is a significant risk that long-term interest rates would explode higher on the back of surging debt levels and rising inflation. That would cause debt service payments to skyrocket and lead to mass insolvencies for consumers and corporations, just as it puts extreme fiscal pressure on all levels of government. And if the Fed were to continue on its path towards interest rate and balance sheet normalization, short-term rates will continue to rise, and the credit fuel supporting asset bubbles will get slammed shut, thus forcing the economy into a steep recession/depression from which there will be no easy escape. History conclusively dictates that asset bubbles never correct with impunity. They leave a wake of carnage behind them commensurate with the extent of the previous imbalances. The worldwide and unprecedented bond bubble will certainly not be the exception to this empirical fact. Now, before I leave you this week, I want to leave you with a couple of things that are on my mind. You know, few things drive me more nuts than to hear the vapid comments from Wall Street permabulls regarding how low interest rates are in terms of history. They say, like, the mortgage rate right now, it's a 5% interest rate. It's still cheap, and so the economy's going to be fine. And, you know, rates are rising, but compared to the 80s, they are still very low. Now, of course, that is true, but that has nothing to do with the ability to afford a home. Zero. And if you're going to base your investment advice on what rates were in the 80s or what inflation was in the 80s, then you are going to lose a ton of money. I mean, the inflation rate right now, let's put it the other way. The inflation rate right now is 2.3% year over year. Headline CPI. So if the CPI were to shoot up to 5% or 6%, would these still same numbnuts, would they tell you, oh, well, inflation is nowhere near where it was in 1980. It was 15% on the, you know, headline CPI. Therefore, there's nothing to worry about. I mean, if you're going to base your investment decisions off that, you're in deep trouble. Here's the truth. You get it from me, not from hardly anyone else. What is important when you want to make money, what is important is the rate of change in mortgage rates relative to the conditions extant today. And you can substitute mortgage rates with inflation or employment. It's the rate of change relative to what's happening today. In other words, what is the current home price to income ratio today? What was it in relation to where it was in 1980? What is the status of household debt to income ratio? They're both much, much higher than they were in 1980. Therefore, it does not take the same interest rate to put pressure on housing. Here's some more truth. The highest interest rates occurred this week in over 7 years. Now, they were still much lower than they were 40 years ago. But they were the highest they were in 7 years, and that took the toll on the mortgage activity. In the October 12th week, purchase applications fell 6%, while applications to refinance a mortgage fell 9% just the week over week. Real estate and autos are very interest rate sensitive sectors, and they are key to economic growth, and both are rolling over sharply. The major point here in this podcast is that record real estate and equity values have been supported by a massive pile of record debt, and those conditions absolutely necessitate that interest rates remain at or near 0%, or they will pop. But that condition is no longer possible. It is no longer tenable for interest rates to stay where they are, because they are in a massive bubble, which I hope I've proven to a great degree on this podcast. And bubbles are like a vacuum in nature. Nature hates vacuums. Nature likes to mean revert temperatures. And that's why we have wind. Wind is trying, heavy, strong winds occur when there's a very steep temperature gradient. Well, there's a very steep interest rate gradient right now. And nature hates vacuums, it loves mean reversion, and it does so not gradually, it does it violently, and does it quickly. So no matter what the Fed does, interest rates will rise, either because, on the long end, because inflation rises, if the Fed were to stay pat on rates, the free market will continue to increase long-term interest rates. Or, precisely because the Fed continues to raise rates on the short end and shatters the equity and real estate markets. And it will take the economy down with it for the ride. In conclusion, clients of Pento Portfolio Strategies will be by no means blindsided from this dynamic. In fact, to the contrary, we are absolutely fully prepared.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.